Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, July the 13th, 2026. 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, in hour number one, we were talking about the death over the weekend of Senator Lindsey Graham at the age of 71. And kind of all the fallout that came along with that. We were also talking about the new Biscoff blizzards at Dairy Queen. And Trish has it right, but does anybody else know why the Biscoff cookies are so popular? I'll be really impressed if somebody knows why this is. 740-383-9944. We talked about the lady at McDonald's, unfortunate employee who cannot hear the codes when you read them to her in the morning. Now, everybody else can, but, you know, again, maybe she's not feeling well. Maybe she's just, maybe it's that third shift. You know, that third shift will wear you down after a while. And we also talked about tonight's city council meeting, second floor of City Hall at 6:30 p.m., the e-bike legislation that's going to be on the agenda tonight. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning to you as well.
We could be on the verge of another heat dome.
We could be on the verge of another war with Iran. Well, continued.
Well, that too over the weekend,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the verge of some increased gas prices. How's that? I've noticed they've already gone up this morning. We're at $3.92 right now.
Well, so, you know, it's interesting. Over the weekend, I actually, because I was over here at the Dairy Queen doing this Biscoff Blizzard, I noticed that the gas prices over on Main Street were still, now they may not be this way anymore, but they were in the 360 range on Saturday, but on 95, we were already back up to the 390 range.
I was just at Speedway on Bell Fountain, and it was 392, but I have something to pass along. You know those boring ads that they play across the pumps now at the fancy gas stations that you try not to listen to, but you can't? They're so loud, they just blast your eardrums. You might not. I don't go to Speedway much. I have been recently, and the ads are just so annoying that I try not to pay attention to them. Also, I was mesmerized by them. And if you text 96001, you text the word again to that. And yes, I mean, you've got to opt into their marketing stuff, but on the 7th and the 11th, I think it is, of every month, you get 50 cents off a gallon. So send me the text, damn it. I'll do it for 50 cents off a gallon.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, because you Kroger folks stopped running your 4 points on Friday, 4 times the points on Friday, so what am I supposed to do?
They still run that occasionally, don't they, if you buy gift cards?
It was, if you buy gift cards, but it was darn near every week on groceries for well over a year.
Well, I think gas prices went up.
They did, and I think they'll probably get back to it, because I've done the gas point thing forever at Kroger. And they'll get away from it every Friday for, you know, and I think then they realize, oh, wow, our delivery or our pickup isn't backed up for an hour and a half. We better start giving fuel points back out and get this place lined up to kingdom come.
Well, you know, go ahead. But no, I just want to say, I actually think part of that is because of the summer. They really do scale back their ads
in the
summer.
It's been the past 2 weeks that they've stopped with the gas point.
Yeah.
Because there's times that I prioritize and I'll be willing to spend an extra dollar on something at Kroger because it'll come back to me in fuel points. I drive a vehicle that holds 33 gallons of gas. So, you know, I can clean up when it comes to that dollar off if I, you know, as long as I'm not offsetting buying $6 more of an item when, you know what I mean. I do the math. I crunch it.
Yeah.
But I've got a quote that I want to read to you.
Okay.
And I found it yesterday. I'd heard it before, but you were talking about Lindsey Graham in the first hour,
yeah.
And I was very shocked when I woke up yesterday and read that he died. I actually verified it with three different reputable news sources before I believed it, just because I was expecting to see McConnell. But surprisingly, anyway.
He showed that he was okay yesterday. He was sitting up in the hospital.
Well, you know, I found a meme on Facebook. It was really funny. There's this picture of Mitch McConnell all rosy-cheeked and smiling, and a picture of Lindsey Graham. I mean, clearly he's passed, but he's been sucked white like by a vampire, and it says like something recently rejuvenated Mitch McConnell denies sucking life, what was left of Lindsey Graham's life out of him, or something like that. And I thought it was funny because I think these people are evil. But so I found this quote yesterday, and I just wanted to read it to you. You were talking about the decorum, I guess would be a good word, around the death of the
We're all about decorum now.
And how people, we can just work it in everywhere, can't we? How people should behave, or how people do behave when you die. And this quote was brought back to surface yesterday. It was in March of 2026, and it was by none other than Der Fuhrer, Donald Trump himself, and he said, "Robert Mueller just died. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people." Okay. Now, I'm going to go back to our little decorum thing. Why in the world should we not take some delight in someone that we have seen as a war hawk and against women's rights? I didn't say, "Oh, God, I'm glad he's dead." I posted the lyrics from War Pigs by Black Sabbath, Day of Judgment, God is Calling, you know, that sort of thing, talking about all these people that sent all these men to die in war, and they have their judgment day. They don't get to beg for mercy. So for all the years and all the torment and all the war that he mongered on the earth, yeah, Day of Judgment.
Well, I think my point...
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Satan laughing spreads his wings. Got to get that part in there, too.
Okay.
So, hey, I got this, Scott. Live your life in a way that when you die, 10,000 people don't laugh, react, and share it within the first 40 minutes. Or people don't make comments like, "term limit reached." I thought that was hilarious, personally.
Well, this is...
But, you know, live your life to where people don't hate you.
Right. Well, here's the thing. And this is what, and again, what Trump said about Mueller was not right. I'm not saying that was right, or it's the same thing.
I never said, "Good, I'm glad he's dead." Right. I just said, "Day of Judgment is upon you."
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, what I saw, here's the thing, is that did everybody agree with the way this man voted? No. Did everybody agree with the decisions he made, or the way he lived his life, or the way he did go with the political winds?
He actually stood up against Trump and made such strong statements and predicted everything that we're seeing now if Trump was elected the first time. And then to stay in power and to stay relevant and not feel the ire of Trump, he turned around and became a total suck-ass. I mean, everything that Lindsey Graham said, he completely reversed, flip-flopped, and became one of Trump's biggest cheerleaders.
Well, he did, and he was a longtime friend of John McCain, who was not a fan of Trump.
And he never defended his friend. They were friends.
Right. But
and John McCain was a war hero, and he couldn't even defend him when Trump called him a loser.
Right. And again, I'm not saying he was the greatest person in the world, but what I'm saying is, for many terms, he was reelected. And terms
yes.
through this era. So,
and the people in South Carolina chose him for 25 years, and he was running again. So he likely would have gotten, his sixth term.
Right. And I think because of the things he did, like going to Ukraine last week, just getting back on Friday, and because of being willing to go on Meet the Press, which he was supposed to be on Sunday morning, I think people got to know him more than other senators. His vote didn't mean any more than any of the other senators that we have.
He was the chair of the budget committee?
I think so. Finance, yeah.
Whatever it is at the federal level.
Right. But, I mean, he just became a popular person, so I think he was under a lot more scrutiny than some other senators would be
there
for how they
100
vote.
There are 100 senators in the United States.
Right.
There are 435 Congress people. We don't know all of their names. We know the names of the ones that want to be relevant and want us to know their names. The ones that want to go there and actually do the people's work and, you know, lay low and, I don't want to say collect a paycheck, but go there and do what they're supposed to do, we don't know who they are.
Right, and I think that's part of the problem here is because he was one of the out front senators, and he was a name that we had known for a long time, that people were willing to go in on him. And all I'm saying, listen, I don't think you have to like the guy. I don't think you have to think that his decisions were right. I don't think any of that. I'm just saying, you know, it's interesting to me that if you would have watched, you know, I guess, what is it called now? What's the term they use for television and radio media? Oh, there's a term they use.
Broadcast,
anyway.
Mainstream?
Well, yeah, those are the terms, but they're legacy. They call it legacy.
Oh, legacy.
Okay, legacy media. Okay, if you would have watched those shows yesterday, and they criticized him.
Regular TV.
Right. But they criticized him just as much as anybody else when he was alive. They did not do that yesterday. Because most of them ran packages on his career. They looked back on it, on his career, and they paid tribute to a man who served in the Senate and did what he did.
That's what you would expect a news organization to do, though, because in theory, they are to be fair and balanced. And when someone dies, even, I mean, if you're excited about it, or I guess I shouldn't say excited. Here, I found another quote that I wanted to read to you, and it kept getting attributed to Mark Twain yesterday, and I knew that that was not correct, but it said, I have never wished a man dead, but I have read some obituaries with great pleasure. So if that's the way you felt yesterday, you probably shouldn't have been doing a news broadcast.
Oh, no, and I think that's okay, too. Here's the confusion, I think, on what I'm saying here. I am sure that a lot of people are happy he's gone. I'm sure a lot of people don't like the man. I'm sure a lot of people probably will read his obituary.
I'm not happy that he's dead. Like, I'm not like, oh, hooray, he died. I'm happy that he will no longer have his finger in American politics.
No, but that's...
Sorry the way it happened, not necessarily, but, you know,
But that's not the tenor of the things I was seeing yesterday. It wasn't...
No, I saw some really horrible things,
right.
Too. I really did.
Right. It wasn't that we're glad he's not going to be in office anymore. I probably could have understood that. But I can't understand... I'm glad he's dead. I can't understand, you know, good riddance.
I wish Mitch McConnell would join him, Scott. Sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
But does it have to be death? Mitch McConnell will be gone in January from the Senate.
No, it doesn't have to be death. But, I mean, they say that death comes in threes, so I could think of a couple others that would make a nice trifecta.
Right, but I mean, is
of American politics gives this a little hope in this world.
But this is what I mean, if we have to wait for these people to die for them,
that's Feinstein, you know, and Nancy Pelosi finally did step aside. They asked Mitt Romney if he was going to run in 2028. I've always liked Mitt Romney. He's ultra conservative, and as far as his beliefs, Mormon, obviously very devout. I helped campaign. He came over to the fairgrounds. I've shook the man's hand, and I would have voted for him if he was on the ballot. I did vote for him in the primary. Actually, that's how I became a registered Republican the first time. Mitt Romney, they asked him if he was going to run, and he said, no, 80-year-olds don't have any business running the world.
Well, but here's a problem, and this is the problem I have with that. We have something called the vote. And most of the time, these senators and these congresspeople do have people running against them. So if you don't want the 80-year-old person, don't vote for him.
But Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, they're the ones that get the money from the big donors. Because
right,
they're the ones that have been in D.C. and have all the connections,
right,
and
but
everything
that's,
else. It's the same as in Marion. I mean, he who has the most money and the most name recognition wins.
Right, but that's not... Name recognition's a different thing. But that doesn't affect your age. You're still your age. I mean, I don't understand why, if you raised $1 billion, if you're 99 years old, why are people voting for you?
And listen, I don't think, I have met many people in their 90s that are very mentally sharp. There's a man that looked up to, he and his wife, just they mentored my husband and I, helped get us into the real estate thing, helped mentor us, helped, you know, gave us a lot of good advice through life, and we really are where we are, sadly. They've both passed. He was well into his 90s. She died in her late 80s from cancer, but he was well into his 90s, and we would go visit him. And he would tell us the worst part about getting old was that his body, his mind was just as sharp as it ever was, but his body was giving out on him. You know, so I've met many, many people, 80s and 90s, that are have the mental acuity. But there are also, we have to be honest, there's a portion of people that, listen, I'm forgetful. I write stuff down at my age, so I make checklists for everything. And I don't think that's going to get any better as I get older. But even, do we have people, you know, let's say Feinstein, do we have people so frail that they're practically being propped up on the Senate floor getting a vote? I mean, well, isn't it, how do you develop new leadership if you keep them in there until they're dusty?
Well, I think there's a problem in the fact that why do the voters keep electing these people? And I'm not sure that these candidates who are allegedly, you know, young and spry and ready to go, I'm not sure that they know anything. I'm not sure that they are the better choice.
Let's say that you're a 50-year-old state senator, Democrat that's been involved. Okay, let's even say 60. You're a 60-year-old state senator that you do want to move up. You want to go to the House, or you want to, you know, probably the House first and then become a senator, because that's typically how it works. But you want to go up, you want to go to the House. Now, the person that's in your House seat has been there for 30 years. And, you know, your party, they have no, I mean, because normally once you get there, you don't leave until you die or you lose the election. They have no desire to leave that seat. So now you have to primary somebody that's been in that seat for 30 years. I mean, yes, it happens occasionally, but what are the odds of you winning? I mean, that's just the system that we've set up. That we've set up for ourselves. But what chance does an up-and-comer, even at 60, have a chance of, say, taking out a Mitch McConnell or a Bernie Sanders or a Lindsey Graham before he passed or a Nancy Pelosi? I mean, you don't.
Well, yes, but I guess, again, it all goes back to the idea that how did these people get in these positions to where they're able to do this? Now, money, I think, is a problem, but money's the problem. Age is not the problem, because there are a lot of young candidates who, for some reason, like Mondami in New York, who get a ton of money and a ton of following for whatever reason and defeat somebody like former Governor Cuomo. You know,
well, Cuomo, I mean, look at his baggage that Cuomo came with. That's the first thing.
Yeah, but aren't we saying these people have a lot of baggage?
Well, yes, but Mondami, and you got to think about New York. New York is a totally, it's an island unto itself. I mean, it's progressive. It's much younger. There kind of really isn't a middle class in New York. There's either you're wealthy or you're the working poor sort of thing in New York. So there, and there's a lot more people that are feeling the crunch, and, you know, they tend to be, I was reading something about this the other day. If you start out, okay, say you start out okay, or you started out in a middle-class lifestyle, and you've been somewhat able to sustain that into adulthood, and then that level of security and that level, that lifestyle starts to decrease, and you start to become poorer, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, your financial security isn't what it used to be, then you tend to start voting, even when you didn't before. Like, you might have never voted because everything was fine and whoever was in charge was doing just great, but when your rent starts going up, gasoline $4, $5, and $6 a gallon, and electric bills are $400, people start paying attention, and then that's when they start voting. And that's typically why you see there's not a lot of younger voters, 18 to 25, and you see it start to pick up early 30s. That's when life really starts kicking in the ass, I suppose.
Well, I guess my main point with Lindsey Graham is that the two main points I want to make about this are, this is what I've been saying for a long time, is that politics is becoming the new Hollywood. In that, I think we see these people as such famous, well-known people that we're willing to criticize them much in the way we used to do. Here's a villain, here's the hero. And I think that's a big problem, because these are real people, these are not Hollywood characters. And also, the other problem is,
Maybe they need to stop playing these roles, though, because I think you've even said it about some of the politicians that you've met. When they're on, as in around a crowd, they're completely different than when you're one-on-one with them. So maybe they need to stop playing these roles and making themselves the most hated, and we'll stop tearing their desk.
Well, right, but here's the other thing. I think it's the knowing the person. There were several very big D Democrats yesterday who were in the Senate who paid respect to Lindsey Graham, who I'm sure that is not going to get them a vote anywhere, that is not going to make them popular anywhere, and they didn't have to do it. A lot of these people were retired, like former President Biden. Said something nice about Lindsey Graham. Former President Bush said something nice about Lindsey Graham. So the point I guess I'm making is that it's easy for us to do it when we don't know the person. It's hard for them to do it when they do. And I was thinking about these deaths recently that have brought news to Marion. They get on the Columbus News. If somebody would go on social media who was local here, and I'm sure these people were not loved by everyone, nobody is. If you would go on social media and say something negative about them the day that they died, people would eat you alive. Because they know them. They know them personally.
Right.
And that's the problem here. We don't know him personally, and so it's okay to knock him. And
hey, on my post, I said, I think the women of the United States should get to decide what's done with his body, because that's what he tried to do with ours for decades.
Well, and so, people are allowed to say what they want.
He made himself an enemy. The people that have lost their lives here recently did not make themselves an enemy. Now, one thing I think is kind of interesting about the young man that was just senselessly lost his life on Lycan's Road, that we didn't hear a lot about it. In fact, I heard it on Columbus News, is that the man that killed him was drunk, 3 times the legal limit drunk. Had you heard that?
Yes, I did. Yep.
I did not know that, and I didn't know it until I read it in the Columbus newspaper. I wonder why the Marion newspaper hasn't covered that.
Well, give them 3 days. They'll get it in there.
Because he was also had been convicted of a DUI or OMVI last year and had no license when he killed that young man. So I don't understand why that was not made. Like, where's Grogan's flashy press release on that one to totally change the subject? But while we're talking about politicians, I thought that was kind of strange. No one knew what had happened. We're all speculating, like, why did this man, this young man get killed? Why did that woman get rear-ended? Well, dude was drunk.
Well, I guess, I would guess the reason on the local level, and I can't be for sure, that was not reported heavily was because, number one, the way this accident happened, it's my understanding that the mother's car was also parked on the side of the road, which is not a place where you should be parked. Now, that doesn't say that the guy should be absolved of being drunk.
My understanding is people were out there watching fireworks.
Right, but still it's illegal.
Right, but she wasn't the only car that was out there.
No, she wasn't.
And, it's against the law, but that's a neither here nor there. Because
but it is in the
like
court.
Out there.
But that's going to be sticky in the court.
Yeah, but not when you're 3 times the legal limit drunk.
No, this guy's going to get punishment, absolutely. But there is his lawyer, you can guarantee, is going to bring up, why did you have your child out there after dark on the side of the road in a place you shouldn't have been in illegally?
Okay, put that in front of a jury, and then make sure they know that child was out watching the fireworks with his parents or his family on Independence Day, and that story gets completely different. I see what you're saying. Like, she was quote-unquote breaking the law by doing what she was doing, and had she not been there, this wouldn't have happened. I get that. That is exactly what an attorney would do. But put that in front of a jury and see how far it flies. And
well,
if we have a, if our prosecutor, which I have zero faith in, if they could get it together, there's no way a jury wouldn't be teary-eyed at this.
Here's my guess on that. I bet you would get a hung jury because there would be one person who would not be emotionally overcome, at least, that would say that is the law, and you were not in the right place. Now, the difference in this case is this guy broke the law regardless, because he was driving drunk, and he had a suspended license, I believe. So, he's going to get in trouble, period. I mean, you can't do that. He's going to get in trouble no matter what the situation is here. But as far as...
You know, maybe if he had had more... I'm not going to say how many exactly, but the one that he got last year was not his first DUI, and he got a very, very light slap on the wrist. And maybe in this town, if we took like DUI and domestic violence a little more seriously the first go-around or the second go-around, we wouldn't have these problems, or we wouldn't, I shouldn't say problem, we wouldn't have tragedies like this occur.
No, all I'm saying is, this is, will the guy get off? Of course not. Yeah, is the guy going to get charged with things just because of his alcohol level and having a suspended license? Of course he is. But as far as the vehicular homicide, manslaughter, which I guess is probably what this will be, that's going to be a much more difficult thing. And I think that the prosecutors and whoever's handling this probably realize that.
So then I'm going to go back to my original statement of, had he been punished a little more severely the first time, then, you know, not given a slap on the wrist, maybe he wouldn't have been driving, or maybe this would, I don't want to say upcharge, because that's something that happens in a restaurant, a charge enhancement, you know, as a multiple repeat offender, then there would, because I can't imagine him killing someone and even drunk and even having the prospect of getting out of prison again, but the way he's charged now, he likely will.
Right, but you know what? This is kind of what I'm saying here, to kind of slide it back about somebody dying and making comments, is I think the reason it is so hard for people to even say that there might have been any fault on the mother's behalf on this at this point is because the 16-year-old died. And I understand that. I agree with that.
What if she'd been changing her tire? You know, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, juries, they're human beings.
But if anybody would say that right now, and they'd say, well, you know, the mother has some culpability here because she was parked in an illegal place, and so people would eat you alive. Because...
You've been an attorney, Spears. You missed your calling.
Well, no, I'm just saying, this is what I think the difference is, because a lot of people knew this 16-year-old. And a 16-year-old...
This is tragic.
Yes.
When a child loses their life, and I mean, 71-year-olds die every day of natural causes. 16-year-olds don't get killed by drunk drivers every day. Well, they probably do, but not in our community.
No, but we had the whole situation with the girl back in May. Now, again... Mm-hmm. Did you ever notice we never got any full disclosure on exactly what caused that? Now, I'm guessing the reason on a local level is because clearly there had to be some distraction there. And if the distraction was, and I'm not saying I know because I don't, but if the distraction was a cell phone, that's not a very popular thing to print right now when somebody dies.
No one would want to hear that.
Right, so this is why these things... Now, Columbus media can do that because they're not here.
Right.
And they're not going to get the brunt of that.
And the situation, the reason why I mentioned the fact that the man was drunk was because there was a woman on, I don't know, one of those local pages that was saying, you know, this man had been drinking. He was three times the legal limit when he hit this boy, and people were telling her, oh, you're just making that up, and you shouldn't be slandering people's names, and you don't know what happened, and whatever else. And she's like, no, I really do know what happened. I don't know if she was a witness or if she was a family member or something, but she was somehow closely affiliated with it. And she was the one then that posted the article from the Columbus media. And it said that he had been charged, and then I knew his name, and I went back and looked, and lo and behold, he's a multiple offender.
Well, and that's probably another reason the prosecutor doesn't want to talk about it.
That he's a repeat offender, and that he, like, think I don't. I only know what I know about the DUI laws by reading them. But it seems to me like maybe the guy should have been locked up on the last one. Now, I'm not saying he would still have been in jail. He got 3 days. I'm not saying that he would have still been in jail had he been locked up, but he might have learned a lesson. Because 3 days, when they sentence you to 3 days in jail, for example, let's say you go in on a Thursday night at 6 o'clock. That counts as a day. Friday is a day. You'll get out Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. So you aren't even there like maybe 36 hours, not even 48 hours, and that's considered 3 days.
Well, but I think these are the intricacies of life, of why things are reported, where they're reported, what, you know, and honestly, I thought that was kind of bad. Did you notice that all the Columbus stations did not report that? I thought that that was kind of bad taste on the main one that did, because I don't think the funeral had even happened yet. And I thought, you know, okay.
That he was a drunk driver?
Yeah.
Columbus posted that the next day. Columbus had that up on the 5th.
Well, I don't think all the stations did that.
I don't know which one. I just had Googled when, or I read whatever link that she posted. I think it might have been 6, Channel 6. I don't know.
But
they reported it the day after it happened.
Well, again,
next evening.
I think it's going to be what it's going to be, but I guess it's just these situations again. People, if
but
you
like
know
that Columbus can report that because they aren't here in the middle of it. Because you know what, finding out the man was 3 times the legal limit drunk might have caused a mob at the courthouse when he was arraigned.
Well, yes, but also
he's been at municipal court, $500,000 bond and everything.
But also, we do try to be a little more judicious in reporting. I mean, we did not report his name because he was not 18 years old, the victim.
The child.
Yeah. And so, you know, they want to do that now. Okay, that's fine. And social media certainly wants to do it, and I guess I understand that in a way. I understand that if you knew the person, if you didn't know the person, I'm not sure why you're mentioning his name. But, you know, because the idea is give the family some time. This is probably not their best moment, the 24 hours after the death.
No.
You know, so, you know, those are the rules we used to play by. I don't know where the rules are now. I think we've got trouble. And social media, again, here's the problem. And again,
it has blurred the lines, for sure. It certainly has.
Yeah, but even in Lindsey Graham.
I don't mean this disrespectfully to you. I think that you play by an old set of rules. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that as far as, you know, not naming minors and that sort of thing. And I don't want to say being vague with the details, but you're not graphic with the details. That's an old school style of journalism, and I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. We definitely need it. But you're right, social media has changed everything for the better and for worse. Better and for worse.
But because social media is willing to throw people under the bus for views and clicks. You know, we did this whole thing last week, and I think that's why a lot of people went after Lindsey Graham. They don't know this man, but they know the name, and they know what he's done. And if you can make a joke, or if you can make something salacious, it's better than just posting that he died. You know, that's going to go a lot further. And I just don't quite understand. See, here's the problem. Why I was talking about legacy media earlier. As I said, newspapers, television, and radio all yesterday would not have said anything negative about him. They would have just run his career down, a career retrospective, he died. But social media will bury him. Think if we didn't have social media. He would not have been buried yesterday. You might have called and told your friend you didn't like the guy. You know, okay, fine, he's dead. But this is what social media has done, and I think that's the main problem. Facts don't matter. And we certainly don't have any type of decorum or even civilized behavior toward each other anymore. And I don't know why. I'm not really sure why.
I'm glad Robert Mueller's dead, or, you know, whatever it was that he said.
And there you go.
And there you go.
And where did he make that post? Social media.
True social. Yep. Because he got kicked off of everybody else's social media platforms, he made his own.
Right, but I truly believe, I mean, what do you remember the water in Marion back in December? We were all going to die. You know, I thought we were all headed for the apocalypse when it came to the water. We were all Flint, Michigan. Well, where's all the apologies from those news sources that were claiming that?
Oh, apologies. Those are...
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't do that.
Bottom right-hand corner, small print, get your magnifying glass out for the
section. And because I came out and said, listen, I'm gonna tell you what the water company said, and until we know otherwise, this is a story we're going to go with. Well, I don't have to apologize, but guess what? Nobody's apologizing who threw the water company and the water and everybody else under the scared people to death, threw them under the bus.
Fear is easy to pander, and it sells.
It is,
and
but...
And that's, again, I'm going to come back to, I agree with you about social media, but we need to be good consumers of information. Like I said, when I woke up yesterday, the first thing I saw, well, I can't say the first thing I saw, was light. First thing I got on my phone, Lindsey Graham is dead. What? That should say Mitch McConnell, shouldn't it? So I didn't just take Facebook's word for it. I didn't just share it. I went to Google, and I looked at NBC and CNN and Reuters and AP, and I'm, by God, Lindsey Graham's dead. And then I shared it. So before people see these things, you know, we need to know. We need, just because you see it doesn't mean it's true. Take a minute, verify. If you don't like it, keep scrolling. If you think it's true, make sure it is. We all have a responsibility to be good consumers and terrors of information.
Well, and by the way, I do want to say that that it's not like people weren't making jokes in public yesterday, because they were, but I, you know, that's just not seen by a whole lot of people. But I want to ask you, do you know why the Biscoff cookies are popular?
I don't even know what the heck that thing is.
Oh, you got to go down and get a Blizzard.
No, when I get a Blizzard, it is always a Reese's Cup Blizzard made with Swiss ice cream, so it's not too chocolate and not too vanilla.
See, I'm not a big fan of peanut butter.
I'm not a big fan of peanut butter either, but a Reese's Cup Blizzard just hits different. That was one of my high school jobs, and I've just been a Reese's Cup Blizzard, or M&M's if I want to mix it up.
Oreo was the original, though, weren't they?
I do not like Oreos at all.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like an Oreo cookie.
They've thrown people out of the country for that.
You should look up what they're made out of if you want to talk about terrible.
Oh, I don't want to know.
A chemical shaped like a cookie is basically what an Oreo is. So, no, I don't eat those either.
So, well, there we are, I guess.
Yeah, they're kind of like a Cheeto. It's a chemical shaped like a whatever a Cheeto is shaped like, with orange chemicals sprayed on them. Don't eat those.
Oh, you know, I did want to say something, because people think I'm so down on marriage. I was going to get this in this morning. I saw, it must have been a picture. Somebody showed me a picture over the weekend of a young couple getting married in, I think it was Hawaii. I thought, what a beautiful picture that was. It was a beautiful picture. The bride and groom looked great. The bride was beautiful. The groom looked great. They were young kids. And I thought, how nice. That's very nice. But, you know, the girl's mother was always beautiful, and it was still beautiful. So, see, there you go. There's something nice.
And you said something nice. You know what? A wedding actually stirred an emotional spot in your heart. And I think we should all take a moment to reflect on the beauty of that.
It was a nice picture. It was a nice picture.
Your heart grew two sizes.
Well, no, it was a nice picture. I mean, I can't say that I'm all on board with marriage, but the picture was very nice.
The whole time you were talking, you know what I was hearing in my head?
What's that?
Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. How much money that all cost?
No, I think it's... Hey, listen, it was beautiful, and there are certain things where if it cost them money to do that, and that's what they wanted to do, they should have done that, and it was beautiful pictures.
Sir, I'm not judging. I'm not saying they should not have spent their money on that. Just the overall weddings, how much weddings cost these days and what people are willing to spend on them.
Well, I don't know if they flew the whole family there, but they certainly, like I said, she looked like a beautiful bride, and I've known her for a long time, and since she was a little kid. And
so then you wish her, unlike Taylor and Travis, you wish her much happiness and success, and you don't want any breakup songs out of this wedding.
No, well, she's not in that business, so I know she's not out to do that. But like I said, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's great. You have this moment. What a nice wedding. And like I said, I know her mother very well, and her mother was always, you know, that way as well. So there you go. Very nice.
Well, congratulations to the happy couple.
That's right.
And I don't know if I'll see you tonight, Scott. It depends on how nice the weather is or isn't, but if not, take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, we've got about 3 minutes left in the program. If somebody would like to call in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We've got a couple minutes left here. If there's something you'd want to say in regard to any of this mishigas we've said this morning. I can't believe nobody knows why the Biscoff cookies are popular. This is something even I would know. Even if I had not had the Biscoff Blizzard, two of them, by the way, this past weekend, I would still know why they were popular. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. We can talk about it here for about 2 minutes. By the way, City Council will meet tonight, second floor, City Hall, 6:30. That's something people are always interested in. And everybody has their opinion, and I think that's what this morning's program has shown, that people feel differently about certain things. And, you know, there was a day where we didn't throw people under the bus the day that they died, but what can you do? Go ahead, caller.
Okay, like I said, I Googled that.
Oh, it's okay.
Those cookies were... on the airlines, I think Delta and United.
Yes, those are the cookies they give you on the airlines when they go through and they offer you a drink and some kind of snack now. It's always the Biscoff cookies.
And it says that you can buy Biscoff airline size snack packs like at Target and a few other places, it said.
Well, when I went to Philadelphia in 24 and flew there, I think it was... It might have been Delta. It was Delta or United, but that's what they had on the flight there, and the flight back was Biscoff, and that's where I first got acquainted with them, and they're very, very good.
Yeah, they sound like those little sugar cookies, shortbread, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Shortbread cookies that just melt in your mouth.
And a good cinnamon
base. I had one other thing I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
I was curious, so I drove down to the where they're putting the recycling, where you can drop it off.
Right.
Because my recycling's backing up here at my house, and I'm debating, you know, because I always separated mine from paper and the cans and the plastic. So I was wondering if I'm going to have to do that if I take it down there myself. And no, you don't. They've just got several bins, and you just put everything in there, because I was worried about that, if I'd have to stand there and separate my plastics and my cans and the paper and stuff.
So you just dump your blue bin into the tub?
You just dump it in those recycled containers down there.
All right. Well, that's good information. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we're out of time today. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Fascinating, or our world would be better.
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people.